WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rap.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's The Rack. You can follow us on Twitter. At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. You can go to gerwick.net, wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com to listen to the program. Interact with us in those chat rooms because we're there listening. You can listen live on twitch.tv/WTRLive. We're there as well. Cool.
And we are getting extreme tonight because this Sunday is Extreme Rules. So we'll be talking all about that later in the show, but we also have news, we have notes, kind of have Tweet of the Week. I'm currently working on that right now. Nobody judge. But yeah, so we will have all your favorites, NXT, kind of have a SmackDown rundown, all the fun stuff.
But SmackDown proto.
Whatever. So
I at least know the names.
I mix them up. I don't know why we need the rhymey names. Why do we need the rhymey names?
Cause I said so.
You can't see my face right now.
I can see your face right now.
Anyway, let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into the news brought to our friends over at Gerwick.net and FightBooth.com. And we're going to... We have a lot of news this week, which is good, but it's a lot. So, we're going to kind of start off with some of the bigger news, like we always do. If you're new to the show, we start with the bigger news, like anybody else, because...
We're going to start with the least important story of the week. No,
the least important story of the week is, so today, for lunch, So, one of the biggest stories of the week this week was that Ronda Rousey is officially announced as a DLC for WWE 2K19. They put out a really cool commercial with her and Roddy Piper, something that they shot before he sadly passed away.
They took the audio from a podcast they did together in 2015, which is where the audio and the interview back and forth came from. So it was the Piper's Pit podcast from 2015 where she was the guest, which is really cool.
Which is really good.
It gave you chills, like, ooh, this is really cool. Well done.
Yeah, so very cool that they did that. It's an awesome commercial, and Ronda Rousey confirmed for 2K19, so that's pretty cool. Staying on UFC.
Hold on, one little thing. Tidbit that no one's really talking about yet because it's not officially announced yet. Rousey's in the game. She's rowdy. I wonder if Piper's going to be in the game this year.
Probably.
There you go. Keep going.
So staying on the UFC kick for just a second, a certain retired UFC fighter showed up this past week at the fights. None other than Brock Lesnar entered the ring after the main event to basically challenge the winner of the main event for that particular show. He can't show up for WWE, but by God, he'll show up for UFC. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say on the subject, because I have a whole rant, but I'm just going to be good. I'm going to be quiet. Moving on. So he has officially re-entered the USADA drug testing pool as of July 3rd, and he will be eligible to fight as of January 9th, 2019. So I think it was Cormier that he challenged. Is that right?
He challenged Daniel Cormier, the new UFC heavyweight champion. And they will do battle sometime next year, maybe in January, probably. Would make more sense to do it the weekend of the Super Bowl, the bigger show, the Super Bowl weekend show. So they may do it then. Officially, ESPN takes over the coverage of UFC in 2019, maybe in January, I believe. So that could be the first big to-do they'll be promoting as a part of the UFC brand. Other news for Brock Lesnar, he is scheduled to return for SummerSlam this year, so the Universal Champion will show back up for work for at least one more day.
That they're hearing the outcry?
Could be. It was cool that he showed up. They sold a fight on Saturday night. They sold the Cormier Lesnar fight. Easy, simple. Something people want to see now. They did a good job.
I just like the sports entertainment twist to it where, oh, hey, look, Brock Lesnar just happens to be there. How about that? And hey, look, he just gets up in the octagon because anybody can do that. And, you know, he challenges Daniel Cormier to a fight. Like, I just, the sports entertainment aspect of that is not lost on me, and I very much appreciate it. But all I'm going to say is this, Dana, don't do it. He'll take your title and then you'll never see him again.
Well, he's used to that. Wonder why?
Because that's what they do.
Conor McGregor, where is he?
Does he really want another Conor McGregor? Does he really want that headache?
But Conor has a bunch of their belts. Just saying. He went off to do boxing. Just saying.
Well,
it's kind of a thing.
It's kind of a thing. I'm not going to comment anymore on that. So, yeah, so.
I like that. You're not going to comment. So, thanks about not commenting. Continue.
Moving on. So, Brock Lesnar back in the UFC, potentially in January. And, well, speaking of returns, staying on that kick, it was announced that Caitlyn will return for the Mae Young Classic, and Rhea Ripley is also scheduled to be back for the Mae Young Classic as well. So, yay for that.
It's been rumored for a while that Caitlyn would be returning to World Wrestling Entertainment. She has been working in indies for the last couple of months, like 3 or 4 months, where she's been training, she's been getting back in the ring, and yeah, so she's making a return to World Wrestling Entertainment for the Mae Young Classic, and you all know what happens when you return for the Mae Young Classic. You stick around sometimes.
You stick around.
You get a job or two. So if she performs well and they're impressed with what she does, former Divas champion Caitlyn could be back in NXT. She could be back on the main roster. Who knows? I always liked Caitlyn.
I always felt like Caitlyn kind of got like a little bit of a bad rap, you know, in terms of just what they did with her. Because she would fit in, I think, very well in this era. But she was in that really awkward transition era where they were coming out of the diva phase and they were starting to go into the women's revolution, and she just didn't quite fit. Like, they tried to make her fit into it and it just didn't work for her. So I would be very interested to see what she could do in the modern era.
So here's the one thing that I'm hoping for, and it's already starting. It's already on Twitter. Big E and Caitlyn, their shenanigans are back.
It needs to happen.
Needs to happen.
We need a family reunion. Even if Mama isn't there, we need the family reunion.
They're already back and forth on the Twitter machine, so it's going to be a thing. It's going to be epic.
It should be epic. Staying on the women, WWE has not officially announced, but there are rumors flying that they are going to do a all-woman main roster pay-per-view as a network special this fall. This lines up to the fact that TLC has been moved from October to December, and WWE's October pay-per-views have been reduced to one. You know, there's just the WWE Super Show, that's it. So it could be that they're going to put the all-women show in October.
Yeah, then we're going to probably... They took it down from the one pay-per-view, so they could put this one possibly in its place. It is, WWE hasn't announced it, but because I think they're probably going to wait till the Mae Young Classic to probably announce it and say, hey, in conjunction with yada, yada, yada. You could possibly do the, because I know they're taping 2 days. I don't know how they're going to air it. Maybe they'll air the Mae Young Classic in, like they do the UK Tournament 2-night special, or they could stretch it out in multiple episodes, like they did the first time, and then you could do the finals on the all-women's pay-per-view. Maybe that's a thing, who knows. We'll see how that goes. But it's cool. Those complaining about the women not working the greatest Royal Rumble, there you go.
There's your makeup right there. So, and unfortunately, one woman I think will not be a part of that, but that's okay because she's landed in a good spot. That's Tessa Blanchard. She has officially signed a long-term deal with Impact Wrestling, so don't expect to see her in any type of WWE format anytime soon. Because she is taken. So congratulations to her.
Congrats.
So do you want to go ahead and just get them out of the way? The blame rants?
No, we got to finish the two little stories and then we'll get to them.
Okay. So The Miz is scheduled to participate in the MLB All-Star Celebrity Softball Game, which should be epic. It's this Sunday.
Which means, or it'll air, it's, they're taping it Sunday, which and it'll air on Monday, which means The Miz will not be at Extreme Rules.
Okay.
I'm just getting it all out there. That's all. I'm just giving the fact.
Hashtag fact.
Hashtag fact.
Okay. And in an update from a story that we talked about a few weeks ago, where ROH and New Japan Pro Wrestling were trying to rent out the Garden and WWE had supposedly stopped them. Well, apparently they didn't stop them because it was announced that ROH and New Japan will be running a joint show the night before WrestleMania at the Garden.
So I have a lot of thoughts on this. Mainly, if you are these two companies, you may want to think about possibly, I don't know, doing something where...
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
I'm so proud of you.
What are injuries?
All right, Goldust with a double knee surgery.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And he's joined by Fandango with a left labrum tear.
You did it wrong. Fandango.
Whatever. They're going to get weird at Dr. Andrews' office.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And yes, they are actually together. There are pictures of them.
Rehab. They were on the rehab tables together.
Yeah, it's kind of adorable. Fandango looks super excited. Killer Kelly got injured with a sprained elbow and knee.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Jim Ross got injured in an outside of the ring spot where he has bruised ribs and a bruised lung.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That occurred at the G1 special on Saturday night.
Y'all be nice to Jim Ross, man.
He's not happy about it. He's very upset about it because he specifically went to New Japan officials the day before and said, hey, can we not have people come around the announce table? Juice Robinson mentioned thing with X-Pac that earlier in the day he went up to the location. He was told that the guardrail would be locked. It was not locked. Thus, everything happened. Should have happened, but that's what happened.
Yeah, so feel better, JR, because that's never fun. Bruce ribs are never fun, and then a lung on top of it. Ugh.
At least they aren't broken. He's going to miss a few appearances, but he'll be okay.
So that's good. And, well, next one we're going to be really, really serious because it's a very, very serious injury, and that is Hiromu
Takahashi.
Yeah,
there you go.
So sorry if I said it wrong. Unfortunately broke his neck at the G1 show as well.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He was in the hospital for a little while, but from what I've heard, he's now home.
He is back in Japan, yes.
And he is recovering. Supposedly he could sit up, so it seems like he may be okay. But it's obviously going to be a very long, steady, slow road for him. So best wishes to him in the hopes that he feels better, because that is a very scary injury to get.
Very much so.
You never want to play with a broken neck. Never.
Yeah, That's for sure.
So, that does it for the Blame Brents. NXT?
Yes, we'll get to NXT in one moment, because the sounder was not working, so we got to re-bring the sounder into the Winamp. And then we'll do it. So, hold on.
We're holding. We're stalling. We're holding. We're stalling.
We're stalling. We're stalling. We're stalling. We're stalling. We're stalling.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Can we talk about how awesome the main event of the show was?
Oh my god. I said it before and I'll say it again. I will have more of this in my life. Undisputed Era versus British Strong Style? Shut up. Just shut up. This was so good.
So, back when we previewed NXT TakeOver Chicago, I mentioned a spot that we haven't seen in a long time. It's the throw in the towel spot. And I was talking about for the Gargano and Ciampa fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
They used that spot here.
Yes, they did.
And they used it to perfection in this matchup. Like, the story was that Trent Seven had they worked over Trent's leg, and he was already wearing a brace. They really worked on it, and they kept working on it. He was down, and Tyler Bate had to come in, and Tyler Bate destroyed them for a while. He was holding his own for a long time. And it's like, but Trent got back into this matchup, and he on one leg was just beating them up, and then they went after his leg. And they kept going after. Tyler Bate broke it up once, but apparently there's this unwritten rule that you can't break anything up more than once. So he's stuck in the corner, he can't do anything. And the heel hook is on, and they're just beating on the leg, stretching the leg. Seven would try to kick his way out of it, just it kept locking it in, and he had a double knee bar at the end. It's just like, Seven's in pain, he's just rolling around, he's punching his knee just to try to stay in this matchup. And then you have young Tyler on the apron holding the towel, and Trent's going, don't throw it, and he's holding on to it. And it's like, you have Mauro just selling it like he's a father to him and all this stuff. Great storytelling at the end. And in the end, Tyler throws in the towel because he couldn't see Trent suffer any longer. They lose the belts. Undisputed Era regains them. But the storytelling in this matchup was great.
It was beautiful. It was so well done. I mean, and Undisputed Era deserves all the credit in the world because they made this look just absolutely vicious. Trent sold it like a damn champ. I mean, he looked like he was dying in pain, and poor Tyler is just like, what do I do? So he does the only thing he can do, and he throws in the towel for his friend, his partner, his brother to save him. And the best part was after it was over, after Tyler had thrown in the towel, and you see Undisputed Era, behind them is Seven and Bate, and they're in the ring, and Trent is clutching his knee, and Tyler's got his arms wrapped around him real protective, and Trent's just going, I'm sorry. And Tyler's like, it's not your fault. And it was such a nice, subtle little touch to it.
Mm-hmm.
That was just wonderful. I mean, the whole thing was just...
It's perfect.
It was perfect. I will happily take this matchup again. I'll take it five more times. I mean, it's a wonderful pairing between the four. So, excellent, excellent main event. If you did not see it, I would strongly recommend watching it. It's very entertaining.
Now, here's the thing. Think about this. This was the fourth time in that week they fought. Think about it. Four different times, four different styles of matches. And this was the capper at the end. Awesome. Just awesome. Other things on the show, Kairi Sane beat Vanessa Bourne and then said she wants to become the number one contender and will fight. And she wants to beat Shayna again and again and again. She is coming for her treasure. The NXT Women's Championship. Solid promo. Good match.
Very, very solid promo.
We saw her bring out her new finisher, the stretch Boston Crab, or an old finisher, but now first time we've seen it. Solid.
Very solid.
Candace was being interviewed at a walk and talk interview. She ran into Shayna, and well, they ended up in a pull apart brawl.
I like this. I just really, really like this a lot. Because they're trying to pull Candace back, and they had five people on Shayna, and then there's two people struggling with Candace, because she keeps jumping in, they keep trying to catch her, so she doesn't face plant. But I want to go back. Have we talked about Lacey Evans?
No, we haven't got there yet.
Okay.
Talk about her.
All right. I appreciate Lacey's commitment to the whole vintage thing, but we have got to talk about the hair.
So Dakota
Kai. Gotta talk about it.
Dakota Kai was being interviewed and interrupted by Lacey Evans. Go ahead.
They gotta do something with. And I mean, I don't mean to criticize it because obviously I can't do hair to save my life. But it just, it's like she's got this super polished vintage look to her. You know, she's walking around in a hat. And by the way, it was a better hat this week. It was a better hat this week, y'all. Much better. It fit her head. But the hair was just a mess. And I know this was a multiple taping and she had probably been wrestling and it was just super messy. But I feel like if you're going to commit to something like that, where it's, you're going to do the vintage glam, the hair has to be on point. Otherwise, the whole thing just doesn't work. And unfortunately, in this, it wasn't working. Like, it was actually a huge detractor to what she had going on. Because she had the hat, she had the gloves, she had the little handbag, and I wanted to actually see more of her outfit, because it looked like it was really cute. But she had this nice little, like, I guess either dress or top or something that was just, it was all a good look. Like, the makeup was on point, the clothes were on point, the hair was a mess. We gotta do something with the hair. I mean, I could make a comment about what she would look like, but I'm just not going to say it because it's not ladylike and she would not appreciate that. And she can beat me up. So, not going
to
say it.
We are going to get a Dakota Kai Lacey Evans match coming up here in the near future.
Kiwi wifey! Who looks super cute, by the way.
Adam Cole beat Danny Burch in a non-title matchup. And then Aleister Black was being interviewed outside, interrupted by Johnny. Gargano doesn't want Ciampa to be champion. Aleister told Johnny to mind his own business. They were going to go to break, but Aleister was blindsided by Tommaso, and Tommaso beat down Aleister Black. 2 weeks till their matchup for the NXT Championship. Good angle.
Very, very, very good angle. Liked it a lot. Enjoying this thoroughly. I cannot wait until these two go, because it's going to be a hellacious match.
Yeah, should be fun.
Should be very fun.
That with NXT.
All right, so I say we take our first and I think only break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be doing the SmackDown Throwdown, a mini one, because not a lot happened on SmackDown. And then we are going to get extreme with Extreme Rules as we preview the show, and we're going to do Pick 'em, and we'll tell you how you can get bragging rights and get in on the Pick 'em game. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Trees and old chairs of fire come to take me home. I'm lost in the woods and I wander on. Hell of fire, take my soul. I'm waiting, waiting, I'm ready to go. Yeah, mothers, like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Tweet us at twitter.com/CB Radio Live. And while you're at it, tweet me, twitter.com/Lone Jobber.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns,
maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella, in the form of Total Bellas.
It's not about you.
Technically, it's all about me.
Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
My husband doesn't know what a quickie is.
Ew. Let's see how sensitive he is.
My husband can't have, like, 2 minutes to 5 minutes of sex because he needs to start out with making out,
yeah,
and touching.
Whatever, that's
and,
fine.
Like,
no,
that's
all fine.
The time. All the time. What? Which I love, but sometimes I'm like, no, a quickie, like, come on.
Why don't you just say, hey, dude. Penis.
No, Cameron. I'll just be like, well, I can give, I guess for guys you call it a hand job.
Yeah, so why not?
No, I do. I have them do it all the time.
Yeah, it's so not great. Sex. That's fantastic.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
My mother is getting more than me.
It doesn't take him an hour to get up, I will tell you that.
People power!
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins. And you're listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
I'm through feeling sorry for the things that I can't choose. If I made it this far, being who I am, maybe it's got a back door to you.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GearWork.net, RockRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. Why would you send me that? Like, why? Rock sent me a thing, and it's...
I had to see it. You have to say it.
No, I don't. I don't need to see that. Yes, I can't unsee that.
Neither could I, so I have to share.
Oh my god, that's so rude.
Don't blame me. Blame Kurt Hawkins.
Blame Kurt Hawkins. It's a new thing.
Yes,
for things
is.
You cannot unsee, hashtag blame Kurt Hawkins. It's a thing, y'all. And on that note, Tweet of the Week.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So this technically isn't a tweet, but I have to read it because I took it so very wrong, and I feel like everybody else is probably going to take it wrong as well, and therefore it qualifies. So Nikki Cross.
Love that, how that qualifies. Okay.
It's my show, damn it. I can do what I want. So Nikki Cross, and it's a picture of her with Becky Lynch, and Becky has her arm around her, and she's kind of looking at her. So just keep that in mind. Hee-hee-hee-hee-hee, up to mischief with Becky Lynch. Scratch, claw, bite, oh, the things we could do, hee-hee. And then And then, as if that's not enough, the caption on the photo is, "She's getting into it. I like it." And this, ladies and gentlemen, is how a ship is born. Right here. That's how that happens. In case anybody's curious. So, Tommy Dreamer, who wore it better? And it's a picture of him and Becky Lynch dressed up, where basically superstars, I shouldn't say divas because it's not divas anymore, but superstars dressed up as ECW superstars. And Becky Lynch was Tommy Dreamer. And she responds, "I can't tell the difference."
And it wasn't just the females. Men were also doing it.
Yeah, the men were doing it too.
Shinsuke as Sabu was weird.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
New Day as Dallas was cool, though.
That was perfect. No Way Jose. I don't know how, but I'm pretty sure myself and Xavier Woods are related. Xavier responds, "The lab didn't tell you yet. We are both alter clones of Lionel Richie, Lenny Kravitz, and Eric LaSalle. Somehow we both landed the same gig. The army is growing." Johnny Saint, who, by the way, is now officially on Twitter. Bonus news. "My first tweet on Twitter. Excited for the launch of NXT UK and to serve as your general manager." He's so cute! Oh my god, he could like kill me, but he's so cute! He's on Twitter, guys. Everybody go follow Johnny Saint.
What's his Twitter handle? So everyone knows?
At Johnny Saint WWE.
There you go.
There you go. Trent Seven. "Remember the Harlem Shake era of our lives?"
Oh god.
"That was pure madness, you know."
Oh god, oh god.
Trent, why are you gonna bring that up? We were all forgetting it. Millie McKenzie, "It's coming home, right, Pete Dunne?" And it's her with, in his ring jacket, holding, I think, their tag team championship belts in her mouth. And Pete's response is, "I can't be involved in this anymore." Peter. Jimmy Havoc, "The end result of giving Pete Dunne a stunner on the roof of my car, because." And it is the dented roof of his car. Reasons. Progress Wrestling. Chapter 73, hashtag KOTN, Corbin and I, Bonesaw AI, return for tag team action after 18 months away. They face Pete Dunne and Trent Seven next Saturday at the O2. And Pete Dunne responds, "Call it off, we're the best." I really do like how he just nopes everything.
Yeah.
He's just like, nope. So that's all I got.
Best breaking news sounder have.
Why do you have a breaking news sounder?
The Fortnite servers are back online.
Sweet! Brent! Brent, if you are in the sound of my voice, get ready, son! Get ready! That's all I'm gonna tell you. It is insta-death. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
Now you know why I have a breaking news sounder?
Yes.
That doesn't work. Alright, warning curves. I hear Comcast is having a significant outage. Wondering if they have unplugged it and plugged it back in? Hashtag Comcast. That is what they tell you to do for everything.
Yep. That's the first thing.
Sasha Banks. "Bailey got my flight canceled to Rapid City, so sorry to all my fans. I was going to put on a 5-star co-main event. Baron Corbin, I'll hold it down and put up a 7-star.
Baron?
Nailed it. Jacob Jacoby, "Every Laker right now is 80% ecstatic about LeBron and 20% scared they'll get traded." Sorry, I meant 100% scared they'll get traded. Pretty much. Dolph Ziggler announces a comedy show featuring his friends and everything. Kurt Hawkins goes, "Is this a Zack Ryder roast?"
Ow.
Not SportsCenter reports several WNBA teams were interested in signing free agent Dwight Howard before he signed with the Wizards, but became afraid that Dwight was too soft for the league. Not SportsCenter, Joey Chestnut ate 74 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Thoughts and prayers go out to the toilets in Coney Island. Trevor Dean, "Have Brock fight Cormier, then sign him to the XFL, have him play 2 full seasons, keep him as WWE champ the whole time, have him never show up on Raw. Let's see how far we can push this." Samoa Joe, "Ever been in a conversation with a person who agrees with whatever you're saying, so you just keep steering the conversation, trying to get them to agree to terrible opinions? Just me? This guy next to me on the flight just agreed to mosquitoes are way better than butterflies."
Joe!
So Nikki Cross tweeted something about she's going to be at some sort of NXT show last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, but in her tweet she wrote MXT. Cash Ozono goes, "MXT! MXT! MXT. Someone asked a question, "Fellow sports writer, what is the biggest gaffe you've ever made during an interview with an athlete?" Sarah Spain, "I asked Ric Flair on the red carpet if he ever took the championship belt to bed. He pointed to the woman with him who's carrying the belt and said, 'She's in charge of the belt.' I said, 'Oh, she gets to call the shots in bed then?"
Oh, shit.
It was his daughter.
Oh, God. That is embarrassing.
That was Tweet of the Week.
Alrighty, so are we ready to get extreme?
Let's get extreme.
Extreme Rules, pick them. You can go to facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. You can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show. Throughout the weekend, make your picks. You go to facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork or facebook.com/Rock Radio Show as well to make your picks. So we're posting them in our chat room right now, but Brent's not here, so he can't read them. So don't post them in our chat room. So tweet them at Kinkin.
Yes, tweet him.
Time for pick 'em.
All right. First things first, the pre-show. Boom, 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 boom. Very happy none of my kids made it on the pre-show, but I feel like this match maybe shouldn't be there, but we'll see. So, it is New Day versus Sanity in a tables match.
Sanity needs some sort of win since getting up to the main roster, so them destroying New Day through a bunch of tables on the pre-show should be the call on this one. It just seems like the perfect spot to do it. Seems like the perfect spot to put Sanity over. It's on the pre-show, yes, but guess what? It's fine. New Day does not need this win. Sanity desperately needs it since they have not won anything on the main roster. So my pick is Sanity. What about you?
I'm kind of agreeing with that simply because they need to get some momentum back behind Sanity. It's like everybody was so hyped up for them, and then they just sort of disappeared after a while and due to issues and whatnot. So now that they're back, I think they need to start getting that excitement for them again. And one way of doing that is having them win in spectacular fashion against the New Day. So not going to complain about that at all. So yeah. I say Sanity goes over.
The Magic 8 Ball just went with the New Day. What's next?
Up next, we have Finn Balor versus the Constable, Baron Corbin.
Gotta make sure you throw the Constable in there, because that's his name, Alex. No, it's not just Baron Corbin, it's Constable Baron Corbin.
Well, you know, I have to add it in for effect.
I don't know what to think about this one. I think the matchup itself will be fine. The feud has been okay. I liked that on Monday during the pull-apart brawl there. Baron was beating on Finn a little bit just because he could. Baron's becoming the heel authority henchman. He's now a corporate Kane, as you called him a few weeks ago.
Actually, I realize potentially why Kane is back.
No, please, no. They're different brands. No, they're different brands.
To help coach Baron Corbin.
They're different brands. They won't see each other.
Well, they'll see each other Sunday.
Anyway, my point was, I think Constable Baron Corbin could take the loss and be fine. Finn needs a good win, even if you consider it a win over Baron Corbin a good win. What do you think?
I agree with that. I mean, I think they need to establish Baron. They really, really do. And they've been doing a really nice job with it in terms of having him sort of grow into the role. You can tell he's really enjoying it. He's having fun with it. And they're playing to his natural personality, which is what they need to do and they've needed to do for a while.
Which you've been saying forever they needed to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, this is the dude that you get on, more or less, that you get on Up, Up, Down, Down. So it's good that you're now getting him on TV. He's a lot more entertaining. They cut his hair, thank God. No offense, Baron, but
He was glad to get rid of it.
Yeah, it's like, honey, it just needed to go. So, yeah, I mean, as much as I want to see Finn win, I feel like Baron should win just to establish him more in the role. Because you can always have Finn come back and get a win later. But you have Baron win through some nefarious means or through abusing his power a little bit or some other way. I mean, it's like you can have Finn lose in a non-clean fashion and it's okay because you can always have Finn come back and get the win. This is also one of the few matches on this card, I think, that is, well, actually, I think most of them don't have a gimmick with it, which is kind of weird because it is Extreme Rules. But, yeah, this has no Extreme Rules gimmick tied to it at all. So, yeah, I would say Baron Corbin.
I'll go Finn. The 8-Ball agrees with you. I'm going Finn more or less thinking, because going back for the last couple weeks on Raw, Baron has gotten the edge over Finn. So I think Finn gets the comeuppance on Baron this go-around.
I would like to see that, but I think ultimately you have Finn get the comeuppance on a bigger stage, and you sort of build Finn up as an underdog against Baron.
I can see that as well, but we're split on one of them. Hey!
We're split! And now, the match that I give a damn about, one of the few on this show that I give a damn about, which I really shouldn't say, but it's true.
No, okay. It's not give a damn. It's more invested in.
My sons are fighting.
So I'm going to back out and let you explain this one.
All right. So for the Raw Tag Team Championship, it is on the line as the Deleters of Worlds take on the B Team. At long last, I am going to get Bray Wyatt versus Bo Dallas in some kind of goddamn fashion. Even though they keep teasing me with it week in and week out. Bray wasn't there last week because of reasons, which I understand.
Ago. 2 weeks ago.
Whatever. He wasn't there. Reasons. Yep. Get it. But this week should have been Bray Wyatt versus Bo Dallas. Did not happen. And then on top of it, you had Bo Dallas come out dressed up as Bo Wyatt. I don't think you guys understand how much it physically hurt me, the fact that we did not get Bo Wyatt versus Bray Wyatt. Like, that just hurt so much. And then we had Broken Axel, which I love Broken Axel. But anyway, yeah. So, you've had the B Team, who have been on a roll since coming out of the Miztourage. They've been pushing them. They've been having them get wins. I personally, and I know it will cost me in fantasy, but I really don't care. I personally want to see Bo and Curtis luck into a win over Bray and Matt. Mind you, in singles competition, Matt has lost. I think Bray has lost as well. I think Curtis beat Bray, didn't he?
No, Bray hasn't fought. It was supposed to be Bo. It was Matt and Curtis. Matt and Curtis the second time because Bray wasn't there, so they just did Bo and Matt this week.
That's right. So you've had Matt lose. Bray has not been challenged yet, but you've had the B Team in singles competition beat half of the Deleters of Worlds. So I feel like all three times they sort of kind of lucked into it.
Well, they luck into every single win they've gotten. That's the gimmick.
So I want them to continue that shtick, and I want them to actually win the tag team championships. Like, I want that to happen just because, one, the celebration will be absolutely epic. I want more chair surfing, damn it. And two, I want the look on Bray and Matt's faces when they're like, what the hell just happened?
I have a question for you.
Hmm.
When this happens, Bo pins Bray, right? That is the way to make this work, right? Bo needs to pin his brother.
Bo needs to pin his brother. Like a whore.
There is
you pin
no...
a whore like a whore, Bo. If, just saying.
If the B Team wins, that is the only outcome that should happen. Curtis should not get luck into the win. Bo should beat his brother.
Should be Bo. It really should be Bo.
And it shouldn't be on Matt.
Should be on Bray.
Should be on Bray. Just for the lulz and family bragging rights.
And, you know, I think if Bray could make that happen somehow, some way, I feel like that would happen. I don't know if it's gonna. But, yeah, I really, as much as I love Bray, his idiot boyfriend, not so much. But as much as I love Bray, I really want to see Bo and Curtis win just because I love what they're doing. I love the whole gimmick. It's amazing. And it's about time for both of them. Like, they've just sort of let Bo rot on the roster. Curtis Axel goes without saying that they sort of let him rot on the roster. So they deserve something nice. Let them have something nice. Even if it's only for a month, you know, where you have Bray and Matt come back at whatever the next pay-per-view is.
SummerSlam.
There you go, SummerSlam. They can win the titles back at SummerSlam.
All right, I'll throw out a couple scenarios for you. Okay. Number one, with the B Team winning, you have them defend the championship on Monday Night Raw against Titus Worldwide. Okay? And the B Team retain. The following week, the Leaders of World win back the championship. Like, the B Team's luck continues. They successfully defend the belts once. The Leaders of World are cashing in next week for their championship. You could do it in that fashion, number one. Or the Leaders of World never get the championships back because they're going to move them on into different situations. Bray and Matt could go back to singles heading into the fall. And you go from there and you put the belts. You have Authors of Pain run through the B Team and get the belts that way. Those are two possible scenarios that could come out. I like the first rather than the second, where the B Team get the belts and hold it for 2 weeks. Because it's not going to be a long run. They're not going to SummerSlam as the champion.
No, I would almost rather see the first one where they have it for a week or two and Bray and Matt come back with a vengeance. And they get the titles back, and then you put them up against, you put the Deleters of Worlds up against someone like the AOP.
No, it's going to be the Revival.
Or the Revival, whoever, whichever. You put Bray and Matt up against a stronger team, and that's not to say that Bo and Curtis aren't a strong team, because they are. They're really good together. But, you know, in terms of a more serious type of gimmick.
Higher profile team.
higher profile team, you want Bray and Matt, they are the bigger names, going up against the Revival and probably later AOP. So, yeah, I can totally see that. But for this pay-per-view, I want to see Bo and Curtis win. Now that I've said that, they won't, but I want to see it. That would be amazing.
The Magic 8-Ball picked the leaders of the world. I'm going B-team in an upset. And Lindsay's going B-team as well.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Up next, we have the SmackDown's Women's Championship on the line, where Carmella will be taking on Asuka. And we're getting kinky, y'all, because James Ellsworth is going to be locked in the shark cage above the ring.
This is a matchup where we saw last month, and it was fine. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Carmella selling, and I enjoyed her screaming anytime Asuka attacked her. They did the slip on the banana peel finish once, with James Ellsworth coming in and helping Carmella win. He's now going to be negated in the shark cage, so he can't help her. Either you do this to establish Carmella as a true threat of a champion, or it's time to switch the belt.
I feel like they're waiting for SummerSlam, but I don't know how you get them to SummerSlam.
I don't know if I want to see it a third time.
Well, I mean, you could do what you did with Enzo, where you have James somehow manage to get out of the shark cage, where he's just slips through the bars and he gets down and the match gets interrupted, but I don't feel like people would go for that.
Or he throws something down and she uses it, etc., etc. I'm a big Carmella fan. It's not to say I'm not an Asuka fan. I'm a Carmella fan. I like the progression she has made and how she is carrying herself as champion. I feel, to me, Asuka is champion. To me, and this is me, I don't think I will enjoy the title run just because I've seen it already. I've gone through it in NXT, and that's not to say it's different, main roster, yada, 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 but it's going to be the same thing. So to me, in my head, I don't need to see it again. I'm enjoying the progression Carmella is making as champion. Asuka doesn't need the belt to be credible. Carmella does.
I'm just not quite ready to see Asuka as champion again. I feel like, but she's gaining, and I feel like she's gaining momentum, and she will always have that momentum because of the undefeated streak and because of everything else that she's done. She has a legit cred where it's, she can pretty much be a threat anytime she wants to be a threat. They just brought Ellsworth back, so I can't imagine that they're just done with it that quick. See, I don't know, because this is really hard, because it's like, how do you get them to a third match without there being shenanigans in this one involving James Ellsworth? Because every match they have can't involve him.
I don't want a third match. That's the thing. I don't want the third match. You can stick with these two and it's fine.
The only way I see that you could get to the third match is Asuka wins and Carmella gets a rematch and she either wins it back at SummerSlam or Asuka goes on. But the thing is it's like, who is the next in line after Asuka?
Bex. I'd put Bex in there.
Yeah, I'd be okay with Bex.
I'd even do Carmella, Asuka, Bex. That'd be fine.
I'd be okay.
Because Charlotte's coming back here in the next few weeks. I wouldn't put Charlotte back in the mix just yet. I'd put Becky Lynch there. I think Carmella, Becky Lynch, and Asuka, you can work that as a three-way program, because they've been building Becky Lynch up for the last few weeks.
Yeah, and you need to rest Charlotte, because Charlotte had such a long run with the title, I Can Speak, that she just kind of needs to be put away from it just a little bit more.
You have her feud with the Iconics, or Mandy and Sonya, you go with that for her. I just think right now, to me, Becky should be in the position and challenging for the belt at SummerSlam, whether it's in a singles or a triple threat. That doesn't matter. It could be in any form. So to me, I want Carmella. This is just me. This won't happen, but I'm having Carmella retain the belt. Don't know how, but she'll retain the belt and go on to SummerSlam as champion.
Yeah, I say Carmella retains. I'm just not quite ready to see her lose the title to Asuka just yet.
8-Ball agreed.
So,
we know Asuka's not winning.
Probably.
Yeah.
Moving on from this, in an Extreme Rules match, Alexa Bliss will take on Nia Jax for the Raw Women's Championship. I expect full-on shenanigans in this. I would not be the least bit surprised if Ronda Rousey does not turn up in this match at some point.
Well, you do realize Ronda bought a ticket. She's going to be front row.
Which, it's like, you work there. And I know this is like an oldest time thing, where it's like, oh look, I bought a ticket to get into the building. But they usually use that when you're like banned.
Well, she technically is suspended, so she had to buy the ticket.
Yeah.
Technically.
Technically. I don't know. It's just like, it's, I don't know. I actually forgot she was suspended. Anyway, moving on. So yeah, Rhonda will make her presence felt in this. I love Nia. I just don't know if I want her to be champion.
I'll say this about Nia. On Monday night, it was her best performance as a babyface to date, discounting all the heel tactics she did for 4 weeks. It was her best heel persona on Monday night.
So I feel like they screwed that up so bad because it's like they went, oh crap, when they put the title on her and then they pointed her at Rhonda and they were like, oh crap, they're both faces. We can't have them both be faces. Rhonda has to be the baby face. So they just randomly had Nia Jax start being a jerk for no apparent reason and make the challenge. And then it's like, oh crap, this isn't working. And so they threw Alexa Bliss into the mix because they needed a really strong heel to go up against essentially two baby faces. And just the whole thing, the way that they did Nia just feels really, really bad because there was just some poor storytelling going on there. And I mean, it's gotten a lot better because obviously Alexa is an extremely good heel, very good bad guy. So she balances Nia very well. She balances Rhonda very well.
Alexa Bliss is retaining this championship because it's Alexa and Rhonda at SummerSlam. That's a simple pick. It's a simple story. How you get there, I don't know.
Well, you basically have Rhonda cost Nia.
Yeah.
So she can get Alexa. Because she's going to want Alexa. So, Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss, 8-ball goes Nia Jax.
Up next, we have Jeff Hardy taking on Shinsuke Nakamura in a match for the United States Championship.
Good to see. He loses 17 world championship matches and now gets this.
What's interesting is I heard he campaigned for this. Like, he asked for this.
Okay, I didn't hear that, but that's cool. I don't know. Like, Shin's been out, so they haven't really done much to the story. It all goes back to the night before the last SmackDown before the last pay-per-view where Shin beat Jeff or got disqualified in the match against Jeff and hurt him or whatever. Whatever they were telling the story. And now you get this matchup, and the matchup will be fine. I'm just sitting here going, eh, if shit. I was on the Shin bandwagon in this championship chase, and then he failed.
I feel like they missed their opportunity with him. I feel like it should have been Saudi Arabia. And for whatever reason, they put it off, and they put it off, and they put it off, and it's to the point that it's like, and it was literally a kick in the dick every time. And it got borderline ridiculous because it's like, y'all can go get protective wear at Dick's. Or anywhere else for that problem. Why you two won't do that, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's like they're trying to recover heel Shinsuke because they need to recover heel Shinsuke. He's too good not to. And they're trying to do it with the Jeff Hardy match, which I have little doubt it will be a fantastic match between the two. Let's just put that out there right now. But I feel like you have to put the title on Shinsuke. You don't have a choice. You have to do it because it's like you had him fail against AJ, and you have to rebuild a little bit of credibility for Shinsuke Nakamura, because otherwise what's the point? Who's going to take him seriously if every time he challenges you, he loses? At some point, he does have to win, and he does have to get a title. I mean, I would rather it be the world championship. I think we would all rather it be the world championship, but looks like it may be US for right now. Thoughts?
My brain just doesn't, like, I want Shin to have success, but at the same point, I think we've already missed the boat, and that's the problem. Jeff is injured somewhat. He is hurting. So maybe you take the belt off of him to give him some rest, and now you rebound, you put Shin in the mix, and you go from there. I could see this match ending in disqualification. Jeff retains via disqualification. That's my pick. The Magic 8-Ball goes with Shinsuke Nakamura. We good on that one? We good?
We good. So, moving on from there in the match nobody thought they would ever see for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, my boys, the Bludgeon Brothers, are taking on my other boys, Team Hell No. This is something completely out of left field. I don't think anybody's expecting Kane and Daniel Bryan to reunite, but here we are, 2018. Team Hell No is around, and they're facing the Bludgeon Brothers. The fact that they have not brought up the Wyatt connection is, like, really kind of disappointing because it's, it's really almost the perfect thing where it's like, we faced them before. And you have Brian bring up the fact that he was a part of the family for a while. Like, you have all that continuity there, and they kind of did bring it up in a video package a little bit. But yeah, you just have Brian be like, I know Harper. I know Rowan. I know what they're capable of.
Well, he's mentioned that, but not because of the family.
But not because of the family. But yeah, I mean, it's like, but otherwise, it's like, this is just the longest payoff to the Wyatt family beating up Daniel Bryan and kidnapping Kane I've ever seen. But also, I love the continuity that it does have in the fact of Daniel Bryan and Kane's relationship.
Okay, I need to interrupt you for a quick second.
Okay.
This is officially what we're calling the SmackDown Throwdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
The last two SmackDowns have been amazing. The last two SmackDowns have been amazing. The last two SmackDowns with Team Hell No have been amazing. Oh my god, they've been amazing. They've been amazing.
Were they amazing?
They were amazing. Like, seriously, they have not missed a beat. The comedy has been tremendous. 2 weeks ago, since we didn't do a show live last week, we didn't do the SmackDown Throwdown, them revisiting the history between the two last week was awesome. Like, Daniel Bryan came in with a laundry list of things that Dick Kane has done to him. They brought up the continuity issues that we thought, oh, the last time they were together, they were feuding. They brought that up, which was awesome. You tried to abduct my wife. Tried. Like, their chemistry together is awesome. They have not missed a beat. The comedy they have done has been tremendous. The back and forth, yes and no's, and yes and no's has been great. What they did on SmackDown was great.
I love it so much. It makes me so happy that they're back together for one last run. Their merchandise is kind of horrifying, but the fact that Daniel Bryan and Kane have reunited one more time just makes me so damn happy. Because they're such good friends. You can tell they're such good friends. They would get along perfectly with each other. So it's just like, the whole thing is great. And the fact that you have Kane, his whole shtick is they say something and he's like, well, actually, it's... Yeah. Love that. Favorite thing for SmackDown. What are you going to do? Open a, like, a portal to hell? And Kane's like, well, actually, it's kind of a gateway.
That was with the New Day?
Yeah.
That was great. But the better part, the one of the other best parts of it, was in the opening segment where someone brought up something about people reuniting. And it was brought up that, you know, Justin Timberlake wouldn't reunite with NSYNC. And then Kane later recited an NSYNC line. It was tremendous.
The fact that he's like, he was, first of all, JT will never reunite with NSYNC. Yeah. And everybody just kind of stood there for a minute and they're like,
what?
What? Did you just say that? And then he's like, well, he's too big of a star now. And it's like, well, I can't argue with that logic. And then, yes, he recited a line from an NSYNC song. I was very proud of him. But the favorite has been, you're like a brother to me. Didn't you light your brother on fire? Screamed. I legit screamed. I was like, oh, Jesus, there it is. Oh, God, thank you for that. Perfect. Absolutely freaking perfect. So, yeah. Daniel Bryan, Kane, back as Team Hell No. All that being said, the Bludgeon Brothers are probably going to win because Kane has a mayoral race in less than a month that he has to prepare for. And so, yeah, I think dude's going to be a little busy with that. So, Kane, Daniel Bryan, sorry, but the Bludgeons are going to bludgeon you. Sorry.
So you're picking the Bludgeons?
Picking the Bludgeons.
Team Hell No for the W, y'all. 8-Ball went with Bludgeons, but Team Hell No for the W, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Watch me be right.
Probably.
you don't care either way, because you know, either Kane wins or the Bludgeons win. It's like, either way, you win.
Either way, I win. I mean, I'll be happy either way with whoever wins, but yeah, it's probably going to be the Bludgeon Brothers. Although, I just can't imagine the awkwardness of Kane being a sitting tag team champion when he gets elected mayor. I really kind of want him to walk up to the podium for his speech, and he just sets the title, like, right there as he's giving the speech. It would be tremendous. Up next, we have the Kiss Your Ass Goodbye match, aka Kevin Owens taking on Braun Strowman in a steel cage match.
Owens has nowhere to run. Owens has nowhere to hide. this match is going to be a lot of Kevin Owens trying to climb up a cage. It shouldn't be longer than 5-10 minutes. Braun Strowman win.
Agreed.
That's the gist of this matchup. It's Kevin's going to run. He's going to stall getting into the cage. You're going to have a lot of spots around the cage. Braun's going to tackle. What's going to happen is Kevin's not going to get in, so Braun's going to have to get out of the cage. They're going to run around the ring. Braun's going to maul him over, toss him into the cage. Kevin's going to run up the cage wall. Braun's going to pull him down. Kevin's going to be put up on Braun's shoulder. Kevin's going to slip out, push Braun into the thing. Braun's going to struggle to get up for a minute. Kevin's going to get close. Braun pulls him down. Braun power slams him. 1, 2, 3. That's the match. Move or move. Watch it happen.
Actually, I want to see Kevin run into the ring, and he shuts the door of the cage, and he locks himself inside the cage so Braun can't get in. And Braun basically lifts the cage.
They could do that as well.
To get into the ring. He flips the cage. That would be entertaining. Speaking
Hold on. 8-ball Wentworth Braun. Continue.
Up next, we have Roman Reigns taking on Bobby Lashley. The build for this has just been okay. They hit the gas pedal Monday night with the pull-apart brawl. I'm just not feeling this. I'm really not. I'm sorry. I've tried.
Question.
Hmm.
Does this main event your pay-per-view?
I hope not. Why would it?
It's Roman Reigns.
But it's not for a title.
It's Roman Reigns.
It's not for a title.
It's Roman Reigns.
It's not for a title, and he's not the Undertaker, no matter how hard he tries.
It's Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns wasn't fighting for a championship back at Backlash, and he was in the main event against Samoa Joe. They weren't fighting for anything.
No.
And remember how the crowd crapped on that one? How bad will the crowd crap on this one?
Well, okay, to be fair, that match started, like, after 11. It was a school night, and everybody wanted to go because they'd been there for, like, 5.5 hours. Probably longer. So I get it. I mean, the crowd is going to boo him either way, because it's what the crowd does at this point. So I don't put a lot of stock in the crowd reactions to him, because it's just like, it's people being dicks to be dicks. So, I mean, if they start it late, then yeah, there's going to be a bad reaction to it, but I don't think it's going to go late, because I don't think it's going to be the main event. Unless they're so keen to have Bobby Lashley in the main event, which, fine, whatever.
Okay, what is the main event?
The WWE Championship match?
That's not a main event. You know what I would throw in a main event?
Boo-boo.
The Raw Women's Championship match.
I'd be okay with that.
They won't, but if I'm picking something on this show, that's my main event. Because you have your biggest star, Ronda Rousey, at ringside for it. And the show closes with a confrontation between Alexa and Ronda. That's your show closer. That's your send the fans home happy moment. Roman and Lashley, in the main event, will not send the crowd home happy. Especially when Roman Reigns wins.
I don't know. I think Bobby Lashley may win.
The Bob is not winning.
They're building Bob for someone. Presumably Brock Lesnar, but it could also be Braun Strowman, depending on what happens there. So, you're building the Bob up. So, I could see Roman winning, you know?
Bobby, you mean?
Or, I'm sorry, Bobby winning. And I could see Roman winning, too. It's a hard pick, because it's like, is it LOL, Roman wins, or is it, hey, look, Bobby Lashley picked up the victory? I mean, this whole thing has kind of been a little lukewarm, so it's hard to say.
Okay.
How did this even get started? I don't even remember how this feud started.
Roman Reigns, I want to be I am the uncrowned, undisputed champion. Bobby Lashley, you've had so many chances. It's time for someone else to do it. I came back for one sole reason. That's to beat Brock Lesnar and take home the Undisputed Championship.
They both realize Brock has to show up for them to get the title, right?
Yes, and that's how the feud started. They were like, I can beat him. No, I can beat him. Yada, yada, yada. I'm bigger than you. Yada, yada, yada. So, that's how this started. That's how this continued. If Bobby loses, you've killed Bobby Lashley's momentum.
Yeah. But, and this doesn't have a stip on it, right?
No, but it basically, you're trying to determine who fights Brock at SummerSlam, because that was the original idea. They were going to do a 5-way, and then they changed that idea, because story-wise, they wanted to change it. Roman winning does nothing for Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley winning puts him back in the main event situation. He solidifies in that position. He can then be a credible guy, whether it is to fight Brock Lesnar. God, they could do a three. Oh, they're going to do a 3-way at SummerSlam. Lashley, Roman, and Brock, probably.
And then Brock doesn't have to take the pin.
Yeah, that's probably how this is going. Bobby Lashley wins somehow, some way, gets W over Roman.
The flip side of that would be is you have Brock make a surprise appearance. in this. I know, it's laughable. And you have him bowl over both Roman and Bobby.
You could.
And have theirs. What you could do is have him stand in the ring confident. If this is what... Okay, so if you were going to close the show with this, what you do is you have Brock bowl them both over and this goes to a no contest. Where he attacks both guys and you have Brock in the ring standing there with the title. And then you have Braun come out with the briefcase. And he teases Brock with the briefcase. He doesn't cash in, but that's how you close that show. With Brock Lesnar in the ring and Braun Strowman teasing him with the briefcase. Basically, here I am. I'm ready to take it. Let's go. That's how you could close that show. Because then you can set up either Brock versus Braun or Brock versus Bobby and Roman and possibly even Braun or just Bobby, Roman, and Brock. And then Braun can cash in at SummerSlam.
So, who you got?
So, since we skipped it and we got to go back and do it.
Make your pick for the match.
I'm saying it goes to a no contest.
I'm going Lashley, 8-ball win with Roman. Now go to it.
So, since we skipped it, the match nobody really asked for, but it will still be good. The Intercontinental Championship match on the line in a 30-minute Iron Man match. This seems a little unnecessary.
They wrestled for 32 minutes on Raw that 1 week. Same.
I know.
I wanted to make that point. Just keep going.
As we all know, Seth can go over an hour before he needs a break. Stamina, y'all.
Seth Rollins wins.
Yeah, I think Seth Rollins going to get his title back. Although McIntyre could play a factor because McIntyre is going to be at ringside.
You could have a surprise Dean Ambrose, even though people say this is September for him.
You know, honestly, it's close enough to where you just have him show up. You don't necessarily have to have him do a lot. He can just serve as a distraction for Seth to do something. But yeah, I could also see Dean showing up and costing Seth.
I'm going Seth Rollins. 8-ball win with Dolph Ziggler. You're going?
I'm going Seth.
Now to the WWE Championship match.
AJ Styles taking on Rusev Day for the WWE Championship.
Rusev Day.
I want to see Rusev win. It won't happen, but I want to see Rusev win.
Rusev Day. AJ Styles retains the WWE Championship. It'll be a fine match. It'll be about 10-15 minutes. Rusev will put the performance of a lifetime, but he is not winning the WWE Championship. We are headed, in my humble opinion, to be one of the big matches at SummerSlam. WWE SummerSlam. Samoa Joe. AJ Styles. We haven't seen Joe in a few weeks. Joe's coming for a vengeance. Samoa Joe. AJ Styles going to be one of the main events at SummerSlam, a WWE show. The Magic 8-Ball went with Rusev. You're going with who?
I want Rusev.
Why?
I want something different. I want them to shake it up. And you know what? Rusev deserves it. He's put his time in, and it would be a nice surprise upset where it's... And I know it's kind of a slight at Shinsuke Nakamura a little bit because it's like Nakamura couldn't get it done, but Rusev does. And Rusev gets the title away from AJ. And even if it's only for a short while, it takes it off of AJ because I feel like it's getting to the point where it needs to come off AJ. It needs to go somewhere else.
It will at SummerSlam to Samoa Joseph.
I understand this. But you could do something with Rusev where he does beat AJ Styles for the title. And I would be fine with that. But what you could do is honestly you have Rusev beat AJ Styles in nefarious fashion with the help of Aiden English. Paige comes out, restarts the match, throws out Aiden English, and AJ wins. You could do that.
You could do the old dusty finish. You could.
So. But yeah, I want Rusev to win, just because it's different.
There you go. Facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Facebook.com/RackRadioShow. Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. Twitter.com/RackRadioShow for all your picks. You have the Sunday until mid-afternoon to get your picks in. To have bragging rights for Extreme Rules. That was our Extreme Rules preview and pick 'em here on Rack.
So I think that does it for us. What do you think?
That does. Stick around on the live stream to twitch.tv/WTRLive. We'll be doing Fortnite.
Yay, Fortnite, because the servers are back up!
Saturday, midnight, this is CB Raider, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. We're scheduled to do the greater than great debate on amusement rides. So if you have amusement rides, tweet them at CB Raider Live. CB Raider Live on Facebook, Twitter, and CBRaiderLive.com. Sunday, Russell Talk Radio will be live once Extreme Rules ends to review the show. Monday night will be the Raw post show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Total Battle Season 3, Episode 7. Now available, Episode 8 will be available on Wednesday. We'll be back live
Yes, amusement rides. We'll be like live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all that fun stuff. Again, subscribe and follow twitch.tv/WTRLive for Fortnite and all the podcasts at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, and fightbooth.com.
Hold on. I forgot one thing.
Okay.
Check out the Tweetcast for Eastern Wrestling Analysis with the Lone Jobber. Lone Jobber. At Lone Jobber on Twitter for his 2-minute and 20-second review of New Japan Professional Wrestling. I think the second part is coming tonight. It may even be in a long form. I don't know. It's a Tweetcast. It's Eastern Wrestling Analysis by the Lone Jobber. If you have amusement park rides ideas, tweet him as well, because that way it'll actually get seen. So at Seaver Live and at Lone Jobber for those. Now she can wrap it up here on the record.
So stay tuned, because Fortnites are probably next. We have to round up an intern and potentially an Omega. You'll have to see. So if you want to watch the Fortnites and you want to see the new additions to Season 5 and the changes, stick around, because, well, they're going to play. We're going to make snarky comments in the chat room. It's a lot of fun. So you're sticking around. But for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be back in just a little bit with Fortnite. Maybe. Stay tuned to Twitter. Anyway, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.